Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Studio G.
Hey, you told me to host the show.
No, okay. You go ahead. Fire away.
No, you fire away.
Go ahead.
Good evening, and welcome to Studio G. We are all in separate studios tonight. That's the confusion over who is hosting the show, but we are so excited to have you with us. We are continuing tonight our series on the Omega Leader, which is a show that's designed to bring the styles and principles of the Omega Leader to those who lead. Lori Beth Jones has captured and coined this phrase about 10 years ago, and it really emulates how Jesus recruited and managed his team around the idea of the Omega Leadership, which combines both the Alpha and Beta styles of management. Tonight, we're continuing our discussions, looking at the Omega Leader, and we're unpacking some principles that are found in Jesus and Blue Jeans, and we're looking at the principle of passion, specifically focusing on how Omega Leaders thirst and express their thirst articulately and clearly, and the power of fragrance in leadership and relationship. So let's say hi to everyone who's in their remote studios. We have Vicky Arciaga representing the business pillar. Hello, Vicky.
Hello, how are you doing?
And we have Shelley representing the business pillar. Hello, Shelley.
Hello.
And we have our fearless Omega Leader, Lori Beth Jones, representing every pillar there is to be represented. Hello, Lori Beth Jones.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Thank you. You're doing a good job of hosting it so far.
Well, thank you very much. Well, Lori, these are fascinating topics, The first one we were going to kind of take a look at was how the Omega Leadership just really specifically verbalizes her thirst. And you talked about how you don't just visualize or assume, but you clearly articulate what that thirst is. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the most powerful statements in Scripture is when Jesus said, "I thirst." And he was dying on the cross. And it was a very two-word sentence, and yet it was describing his passion, his longing, his yearning, his physical condition, and his vulnerability. And I think that as we discuss passion, leaders need to be able to say in a single sentence, "This is what I'm thirsty for in the world." And Martin Luther King, "I thirst for a time when all people will be free." Rachel Carson, who many people credit as being the mother of the environmental movement, said, "I'm thirsting for a planet where there will be a perpetual spring." She had us imagine what it would be like to hear no birds, and talked about if we continued on that path that we were on, that there could be a time when we would hear no birds. So her thirst came from a yearning, and yet she was able to make it so clear, silent spring. You know, that makes you think. Martin Luther King, a time when all people will be free. So I'd like to have a round-robin discussion here about what is it that each individual here is thirsting for in a leadership capacity. So, Shelley, let's start with you and then go to Vicky, and as a fire, you can round that out.
Hey, you guys are giving fire a bad rap tonight.
Well, Lori Beth, I think that is an interesting question to put out to us here. In leadership, what are we thirsty to see? And I was on a conversation today with a pastor, and we were talking about the role of leadership and the role that the leader plays inside organizations and teams, and in his case, the church. And, you know, I think one of the things that that I hear leaders talking about, particularly in the church, is that they're thirsty for a movement within the body of Christ to be a thirst quencher to the world, that the world is thirsty for something new, something different. That the church could become, that the church could be. And if I were to answer that question that you just posed, I would say I'm thirsty for a body of Christ that is thirsty for the world.
Hmm. That's powerful.
Now it's Vicky's turn.
Yeah, if I can say that I thirst for synergy. I thirst for looking people engaged in a good cause and just rowing together towards a direction that really invigorates me. And, you know, when I see that, it really charges my battery to keep going and keep rowing.
So I didn't hear the first part. You thirst for what?
Synergy.
Synergy
and just the amazing things that happen when teams are engaged and they're all rowing or moving towards a goal together instead of everybody rowing for a different direction, you know. And I just love when I see that, you know.
It's very powerful, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, Elisa?
Well, you know, I'm thirsty for many things, and it's interesting this week that there's been kind of a yet another chance, circumstance, situations that had me step back and reflect, what is it that I'm thirsty for? And obviously, I think as a fire, you know, I'm thirsty for transformation, but specifically I'm thirsty to see lives transformed and ultimately for poverty to end. And that's really, you know, what I'm passionate about and what I'm thirsty for. And, you know, more specifically, you know, I can't think about where I lead. I'm thirsty for, you know, students to be empowered and equipped so that the cycle of poverty is broken.
That's powerful. I'm thirsty for people to be divinely connected and to recognize how loved they are by God. I'm thirsty for people to be operating in their highest gift. I'm thirsty for tigers to be tigers and horses to be horses and fires to be fires and waters to be waters and for people to quit trying to be what they're not and who they're not, to recognize their unique beauty in the divine creation.
It's very in your chapter you talked about, you know, how children appear to verbalize their feelings pretty well, and some point we stop verbalizing and we start assuming. Why do you think that happens?
Well, I just had a very good session about that today with a good friend and counselor about a challenge that I continue to have, and I see that I wrote about it years ago in Jesus and Blue Jeans, which is not speaking my feelings in the moment, and then I wait, and then 2 years later, you know, I have a fit, and my wind fire engages, and people are going, what the heck, who was that?
What's that all about?
What this wise counselor told me was that when you feel, and I described it as a dance, so when you're dancing with someone, whether it's on a team or in a relationship or in a family, it's all a dance. When someone steps on your toes, typically you say, ouch. If you don't say ouch, they're not going to change their movement. They're not going to adapt. And so what I realized in my life is that I don't say ouch because I just think I'll handle it. You know, I'll handle it. Until finally they've stepped on my feet so long that I don't want to dance anymore. And I do the paso doble and then, you know, slay them on the floor. So... To speak your thirst. And she said that sometimes we teach even when it's uncomfortable. So if you're saying, wow, that really hurt me when you said that, if you say that in the moment, you're giving that person feedback to allow them some relationship skills, as opposed to thinking, well, I can handle this more than the person sitting in front of me, so I'll just absorb it. And, you know, it's really a profound lesson for me to speak up more frequently in the context of this is a dance, as opposed to waiting until my feet are battered and bruised and I'm ready to, you know, kick something out the door. So, yes, take some prisoners, right.
And it's also powerful, the timing and also the, not only the timing, but that you identify exactly what is going on, right? The feeling that you're going through. Because, you know, if you are communicating as a teenager sometimes, and you ask, what's going on? Nothing. And where are you going?
Right.
Nowhere. And what are you doing? Nothing.
Right.
You know, it's hard to see what's in your mind, what's in your heart. The more specific that you could be about the difference between being or feeling disappointed or angry, or, you know, if you are really paying attention on what is really the cause of whatever you're feeling and what exactly are you feeling, I think that's defining your thirst.
That is very well said, Vicki. I have a friend who she used to work in the prison system with teenagers, and she would do feeling charts trying to teach them what they felt, and that anger was not the only feeling. You know, do you really feel, is it rage you're feeling, or is it disappointment, or is it sorrow, or is it sadness? You know, there's a whole range of emotions that sometimes teenagers, they only, and adults too, we go from, you know, rage to fear to love in 60 seconds or less, when really there's a whole spectrum of feelings, that the nuances, you know, the Eskimos have 208 words for snow because it's a matter of life and death for them.
Yeah.
Whereas in Phoenix, which is where I am right now, they don't even know what snow looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking of, as we were beginning to break into this segment in the passion section of this book, Lori Beth, you know, in your writings, you often write in this cadence of 4/4 time, and we've talked about that before. And I think in this book, it's no different. When we look at the section of this book in light of the Omega Leader, we're in the passion section right now, which would be what element?
Fire.
Right. So when we look at the word passion, the opposite of that could be thirst, which is a water element, right? So I was sitting here thinking about how, and you talked about this, and I don't know if it's in your newest book, Jesus Career Counselor, or if it's in the one you're working on right now, about how you had done a study recently on, help me out here, I'm trying to think if it was the wheel within a wheel, and how that leader or that principle is really at the extreme ends of the concept. I'm trying to figure. I can't bring the example that you used a few months ago in that regard. But my point that I'm trying to make is, it's interesting to me that we're talking about what people thirst for here, which is really a water trait, a water question,
mm-hmm.
or what are we thirsty for? But it's really under the passion section.
Mm.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that from a leader's perspective? Because a fire leader would be like, why aren't you excited about this? Are you not mm-hmm. passionate about it? Are you not with me? Well, if you're not with me, you must be against me. So, you know, go find another team. Go
mm-hmm.
find another place to worship. Go find another place to teach. You know? So passion, really, is it what we're thirsty for?
Well, I think that a wise leader, an enlightened leader, will identify what the team is thirsty for. Each individual team member is personally thirsty for. And that's why we're so big on understanding the mission and vision of each person that is around you. As I think about thirst, you know, fire leaders, speaking as a fire, sometimes we get so disgusted with people when they don't respond to the urgency of the matter. And it's because we're hot all the time and we're thirsty all the time. And maybe the waters aren't quite as thirsty. Maybe the earth isn't quite as thirsty. Maybe the wind can play with water anytime it wants, so it's not quite as thirsty from a fire's perceived perspective. But if you've ever been thirsty and water isn't available, you know how that dictates your whole thinking. You know, you, if you're an animal out in the desert, you follow the scent. And I'm watching the Great Migrations program on PBS, which is a National Geographic, amazing, and how these elephant herds and all of these herds follow the scent because they're thirsty. And if they do not find that water, they will die. And I'm thinking of the scripture that my heart thirsts for you like the deer pants for the stream. And so that yearning, it goes beyond, you know, we're talking about selling. We were talking about selling in our company a couple of days ago. And when you identify what people are thirsty for, and if you have the solution, you don't have to sell. They are looking for it. You've just got to identify what the yearning is. And it goes below what the perceived need is. Mm-hmm. The yearning is something that's what leaders tap into. And fires can really do that well when they come alongside, when they illuminate, when they warm the hearth, when they light up the darkness. They can see what people are thirsty for when they take the time to listen. So it is an interesting dichotomy that passion is fire and thirst. Thirst, really, water is the solution for the fire.
Yeah, and it also helps us to, I think, as fire leaders, maybe begin to grapple with the concept that the other elements, sorry to steal your thunder here, Ms. Holston, but the other elements...
Hey.
The other elements have the ability to demonstrate passion, but it might look like their passion might look like they are quenching their passion when actually the waters are really leaning into a passionable moment, and as fires, we just missed it. So I was kind of hanging out in that space. And you also talk about, Lori, in the book that individuals who accurately describe their thirst attract people who are willing to help them quench it. That was a powerful statement that I'm still chewing on. So this whole discussion that we've had for the last 20 minutes, I know we need to move on, but it's a very elementally... I think it's a great picture for us to have as Omega leaders when we look at the elements.
Well, I'm also watching. I love the program, The Good Wife, and in it there's a woman who is running for an office that Elisa Flores' husband wants or used to have, and she gets up there and she just is so, you know, calm. And she says, you know, I walked my children to school every day, and then I noticed that the city fountain was not flowing. And I asked why, and I realized, and I was told that so-and-so had not gotten the bid in, and they refused to give it to the people who wanted the bid, and it struck me how corrupt our city has become. And so that's why I'm running for office, to get the fountain flowing again. And I thought, man, that is one of the best speeches I've ever heard about that metaphor, that visual or simile, Elisa, whichever one it is, that visual. Why
metaphor.
Was she doing thank you. Why was she doing that? To get the fountain flowing again. That woman is going to be a dynamic and powerful candidate because she identified the thirst in a way that people could relate to.
Well said.
And that's a great segue, actually, to the next kind of section, which talks about fragrance, and perhaps even in her statement, she was giving off a fragrance that was appealing. So talk a little bit about fragrance and its power.
Well, I love the Song of Solomon, and it says, "Come into my garden, O north wind, and spread my sweet fragrance around." And as I researched this chapter, I learned that scent is the only sense that goes directly to the brain. Everything else takes a circuitous pathway. But scent is so primal for us, whether this is decaying or rotten, do not eat this, do not drink this water because it smells bad. It's something that is at a primal level for us. And I know that when people die, you see them rushing into the closet, you know, not them, but their loved ones, trying to gather that scent of that person on the pillow. When my father died, someone asked if I missed him, and I said, what's really interesting is that I feel him more around me now than ever before, because when he was alive, he was in a body. But when his body was broken, his fragrance now is everywhere. So to spread the fragrance. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading also about the. I love perfumes, and as you know, so that the sense of smell is 10,000 times more sensitive than any other sense. So 10,000 times.
Wow.
Then you wonder why. You know, there's not a question why it stays in your mind the longest.
You know, that's so true, and yet, as leaders, do we scent danger? Do we scent spring? Do we trust our gut, going back to speaking our thirst? Or do we let the data overwhelm the primal instinct, which sometimes can be the Holy Spirit speaking to us as leaders?
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting, because my questions were kind of, one of my questions was, you know, that as leaders, we maybe depending on the element, we are fragrances or we transmit fragrances. And so in what ways are Omega leaders fragrances?
Can you think of a leader that you know or admire that left a room and there was a fragrance or a scent about that person or a situation where that happened?
Sure, and I think you can also say, okay, when you know a person, define that person with just one word, and that word is the scent. If you have to define somebody with one word,
well, that would be a good exercise, wouldn't it? You know, in the Catholic tradition, when Mother Mary appears to someone, they say she smells like roses. It's the scent of roses. And that's how people would know that she was there or had been there. So it's really ethereal and it's invisible. And much of what we're talking about with Jesus is the mystical and the invisible. And the leadership principles of fragrance, I mean, would that really make a Machiavelli book? I doubt it. Or Lao Tzu, yeah. The Art of War and Business. And I think maybe as women, we're more sensitive to the nuances, the subtle expression changes. In fact, they've shown that women can read expressions better than men can. We're probably more sensitive to scent than they are. Maybe it was a survival tactic, but it certainly can work in leadership. And so when a deal smells bad, there's probably a reason.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
I was thinking of, you know, the different kinds of, you know, the intention, I think, Lori, is that I took from the lessons in this chapter is that our fragrance as leaders or followers is a powerful piece of the leadership fabric. And interesting again in this section of passion that fragrance is there. And a smoldering fire, a burnt fire, you know, doesn't smell that great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a dusty bag of wind in your face doesn't really smell that great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, earth that has been left in a certain context, whether it's composted or not, you know, doesn't really smell that great. And water, if it's not moving, it
doesn't
can
smell that great.
Yeah. And so as I read this, I began to think of an omega leader, whether they're fire, earth, water, or wind, and how the fragrance can be positive,
mm-hmm.
or it can also be very damaging and very hurtful. And I think as leaders, we don't pay enough attention to the fragrance when we walk into the room,
mm-hmm.
or when we leave the room. And I think this lesson in this chapter is a reminder to us that the people who have been that sweet fragrance in our lives have impacted us in a very, very deep and positive way. And we have a list on the other side of the aisle where that leader and fragrance sometimes wasn't as positive. And, you know, so I appreciate the challenge that these two lessons tonight are bringing us, because you know, maybe they're more on the feminine side, or you know, less on the masculine side, but we're talking about omega, which is a blend of the beta and the alpha. And so I think we have to be cognizant as leaders that the fragrance needs to come from both sides.
And I think it's important. It's also important to recognize in Scripture that when fragrance was involved, there was a great amount of preparation and expense that went into that.
Mm.
When Mary poured the ointment on Jesus' feet, that was a small fortune for a family. And
right.
In the Middle Eastern traditions, that you're supposed to prepare yourself to worship, I think we've lost that sense of preparation before we go into a meeting. What is our intention? What is the fragrance we want to leave
right.
with that group? And so, Vicki, I know you were about to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking that as a leader, hopefully you are with your radar on to read the times and to see what kind of sense does your group need to provide it. And usually when you have perfume, I mean, you have a certain amount of oil, so it stays in you and all that. And depending on what the perfume is made of, like, for example, lavender, it relaxes you, right? And lemon, it's more like a strong scent and it awakens or refreshes you. Lemongrass is like an antidepressant. So when you are a leader of a group, I wonder if we're conscious of the moment and what perfume does our group need?
That's beautiful, Vicki. Powerful.
That is
to go to the aromatherapy of leadership.
As we hand it off to Lori Beth to close, there's a contemporary worship song by Robbie Say, and it's Jesus Garden of My Rest. Your fragrant beauty fills the air. I lean and lay against your chest, forever safe and happy there. And I think, you know, that's our call also as Omega leaders, that our fragrant beauty would fill the air, and we would at the same time be articulating our thirst clearly, and working together to understand people's mission and working together to be the change in the world. So, Lori, we hand it off to you to close us out.
Well, I'm thinking of the role of the shepherd for some reason, that they would examine the sheep, each sheep, to see if there are cuts under the wool, because, you know, as the wool grows, there's a lot that cannot be seen. And the grooming of just the attention of checking each lamb as it was born. And I have Rue sitting here with me, my little Yorkie Bichon. He delights me because when I put on a new mascara, he has to scent, he has to smell everything on my face. If I have new lipstick or new makeup, he's so sensitive to anything new about me. And isn't that what a lover is supposed to be? And to imagine Jesus being that sensitive to us and us being that sensitive to him. How was your day, Lord? You smell like you had a hard meeting, or let's go walk in the fields and take off our shoes and go lay in the lavender. And this is the Song of Solomon. This is the call of the lover to be suffused in the fragrance of love and relaxation and trust and rest. And I think this is what the world is thirsty for.
Mm. Mm. Well, powerful words. Amen. And I think that's all there is to say. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to you joining us next week as we continue our talks on the Omega Leader. Good night and be blessed.
Good job.
Good night. Adios.